The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. Let us begin with our impact segment, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. A little behind the scenes, I am staring at the hotline. We have an interview set up with Vody Bachum, author of a new book called Fault Lines. He is calling us as per a PR company. And I always have this thought right before I go on air. I don't have a producer. Sometimes I don't follow up. I've got, like, my hands full. And right before I go on the air, I'm thinking, okay, I'm staring at the hotline. And I've really promoted this interview. Now, let me spend a moment. Maybe Vody will be calling in. Maybe he got sidetracked. I'm hoping and praying that's the case. But Vody is a pastor. He was in... pretty much born and raised in Texas, and a number of years ago, the last time I interviewed him, he said he was moving to Lusaka, Zambia. He's the dean of the School of Divinity at African Christian University there. I interviewed him probably the first year that I was here on this radio station at Grace Community Church. Pastor John MacArthur was doing a weekend forum. I don't even remember what it was on. And I had the opportunity to interview Vody. I had heard a little bit about him. Again, we're going back 7 years. And the stature that he commands, it's undeniable that this man knows the Bible. And I sat there and I interviewed him for about 10, 15 minutes, was really struck by his candor, his transparency, his humor, and also his knowledge of the Bible. So a few Mondays ago, you were maybe with us when I ran for this segment 9 audio clips from a sermon that he did on, well, you can find online at YouTube, called Biblical Justice versus Social Justice. And we broke down step by step. If you profess to have faith in Christ and you follow the tenets of the Bible, social justice and biblical justice are completely, how shall I say the words? They're not compatible. Social justice and the social justice movement is incompatible with biblical Christianity. And so Vody is calling out, kind of a clarion call, to really take a deep look at the ideology of critical race theory, intersectionality, social justice. And he did a wonderful job in this sermon. I'll play an excerpt and then get to his new book in a moment. This is Vody Bachum.
There's a lot of academic literature that lays out and defines social justice. William Young, Academic Social Science and Social Justice. He writes, while often an amorphous term, social justice has evolved to generally mean state redistribution of advantages and resources to disadvantaged groups to satisfy their rights and social and economic equality. Social justice is state redistribution. That's what social justice means. State redistribution. It is not a heart issue. From a biblical perspective, justice is a heart issue and a law of God issue. Amen? It is a heart issue and a law of God issue. If the law of God says this and you do that, it is unjust. If the law of God says this and your heart goes toward that, it is unjust. Social justice, by definition, is not a heart issue. It's a state issue. And it's about state redistribution. And redistribution, again, advantages and resources to disadvantaged groups. Social justice is not about individuals, it's about groups. It's another very important distinction. It's not about individuals, it's about groups and outcomes for groups.
So we're watching the hotline. He may or may not call it. If he doesn't, we'll try to reschedule. But let me share more since we're into this on our impact segment. Now, again, Vody's new book is called Fault Lines. And the subtitle should concern you a bit. The social justice movement and evangelicalism's looming catastrophe. Vody believes this isn't a matter of if, it is when. And conflicting views on what we do about this and how the church responds. A little more with Vody Bauckham. Again, this is a sermon done, gosh, it's probably 5, 6, 7 weeks ago.
For most Christians, and when most Christians get sucked into the social justice movement, they usually think about one area and one area alone, and they think about race. They think about race. As Christians, we love the brethren. As Christians, racism is ugly to us, it's evil to us. So when somebody says there's issues here related to race and justice, we go, where? Where? Point me in the right direction and let's go to war. And the social justice movement comes, and it sounds innocuous, right? Social justice, racial justice. And bam, here we go, and we're on board. Having no idea that the social justice movement is like a train with multiple boxcars. And there's an engine driving the train. The engine driving the train is critical theory, critical race theory, intersectionality. That's the engine driving the train. And then right behind it comes racial justice, right? And as Christians, we're like, no, we're one in Christ. There's no room for racism. And so we jump on, you know, because we see that boxcar. And then right behind that boxcar is the LGBTQAI+ boxcar. And then right behind that boxcar is the climate justice boxcar. And right behind that, and then there's all these boxcars. And many Christians think that they can jump onto the racial justice boxcar and not be attached to all those other boxcars. And you can't.
What I'd like to do is spend another moment on this, and it seems clear that Vody is not calling in. And we'll follow up, and I'll let go of whatever emotion, feeling I have right now. It happens, right? But let me spend a little more, because I literally was up last night studying for a couple hours, reading his book, making notes. This is a very serious problem. Now, Vody doesn't minimize the realities of race. We have a problem with racism. He talks about it growing up. He said there are individual racists in the country. But he's more concerned about a false narrative. And without speaking for him, let me share a little bit more of what Vody had to say about social justice. And what about biblical justice?
Do you know the name Ibram X. Kendi? If you know the literature at all on this, then you know the name Ibram X. Kendi. If you don't know his name, you probably know the title of his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. Now, his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, is being used, in government agencies, in universities, Fortune 500 companies. Probably the two most popular books that people are using for diversity training are Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility and Ibram X. Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist, okay? And if you don't know his name and you don't know his book, you certainly know his ideas because they are everywhere. In fact, they're beyond everywhere. They're everywhere, okay? There are Christian organizations and Christian ministries now who are using Ibram X. Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. It is pure critical race theory. It is critical theory, critical race theory, intersectionality on steroids. It is antithetical to biblical thinking, biblical theology, biblical ideology, and it is being used in churches all over this country and ministries all over this country in diversity training.
Pastor Vody Bauckham. Vody is Dean of Theology at African Christian University in Lusaka, Zambia. As you have just heard, some of the audio cuts I played from a sermon he did somewhat recently entitled Biblical Justice Versus Social Justice. Vody is author of the new book entitled Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. And my understanding is we do have Vody indeed on the hotline. Pastor Vody Bauckham, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Vody, I pray you are well and are healing well from your recent surgery.
I am. Yeah, thank you very much. It is indeed a pleasure to be back on with you and to be back in my hometown, at least in a small way.
Yeah, in a small way you are. Well, we welcome you back with open arms, and we've had you in our prayers. I've talked a lot about you over the last handful of weeks. And let me just kind of jump into just a quick question. How long do I have you for? I know you've been talking about fault lines and doing a lot of interviews. I want to be sensitive to your schedule.
I think it's supposed to be until the next hour, top of the next hour.
Oh, so we have you for the remaining portion of this hour?
Yes.
Okay, great. So let's talk for about 10 minutes. We'll break and then come back and continue. And I'm grateful I do have you for that long because there's a lot to ask in a short time. So let's just get in. I want to talk about fault lines. Why pick a title of your book, Fault Lines? And the subtitle I've emphasized with my listeners, the social justice movement and evangelicalism's looming catastrophe. You believe there's a looming catastrophe, not if, but when. Talk about why you chose the name Fault Lines.
I chose the title really because I wanted to use a metaphor that would help emphasize what I believe we're in for. And I do see this as us being on the fault line and on the brink of a great divide.
Vody, did I lose you all of a sudden? Sounds like you went in a different realm. Did you go on speaker?
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh is right.
Hello?
There you are. Much
Hello?
Better. That's I can hear loud and clear. Go ahead.
I had something that just picked it up. I think my headphones or something came on and picked it up.
Good.
But I use that really intentionally to try to get people to understand the significance of the moment. As I said, I'm an L.A. boy born and raised, and I've been in an earthquake or two. So it really just is kind of a vivid picture of what I see looming on the horizon. I'm seeing families divided, churches divided, ministries divided. I'm seeing, seminaries and universities divided over this issue, and it's not going away. These ideologies here really are completely incompatible. Biblical Christianity and this sort of woke social justice, critical theory ideology are really incompatible. And so there is a catastrophe on the horizon, and I hoped to really capture that with the book.
Now, you mentioned those of us that profess faith in Christ, and I know I've talked a lot on the program recently about what, at least to me, seems the rise of theological liberalism or progressive Christianity. In other words, there are Christians right now that they hear the term social justice and they say, well, yeah, we're all in. That's what we're supposed to do, get involved in the social justice movement. And yet that term doesn't necessarily back up the mission of what the social justice movement is. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, I tell people, I always have this Inigo Montoya moment when people use that. I just want to say, you keep on using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Right.
And for most Christians, they're using this terminology of social justice, and they think that it refers to the idea that things should be just in a society. But by definition, social justice is redistributive justice. And it's built on a set of assumptions. And these assumptions come out of critical theory, the idea that the world is divided into oppressors and the oppressed. And whenever we see disparate outcomes, those outcomes exist because of oppression. And so social justice is the idea that we will go in and then fix those disparate outcomes. It's kind of like the difference between equity and equality, right? Equality says we're all going to run a race and everybody's going to start at the same point and we're going to race by the same rules. Equity says the slower runners are going to move further up ahead so that everybody finishes at the same time. And so social justice is about equity, not equality. And I think most Christians who are sort of amenable to the term really don't understand what it means.
So is part of the problem, and we hear so much about ethnic tension, I know you say that's not at the very least the core of the problem, but is part of the struggle that we kind of have these assumptions about what social justice is or critical race theory, and then our assessment is based on kind of a false narrative?
Absolutely. I think that's at the core of this. It's at the core of a lot of the things that we deal with, right? I think a lot of the problems in the church historically have been over, you know, not being precise with definitions or not thinking that we needed to be precise with definitions. And I think right now we're dealing with that in a way. People are very lazy theologically, very lazy culturally, and are talking about things using sort of shorthand terminology that has been used in the academy for decades now and has been, you know, very clear, has very clear meanings, has very clear implications. And so they're hearing these things and being attracted to them when, in fact, if they knew what they were, they wouldn't.
So if we or if they, the proverbial they, knew what they were, we wouldn't necessarily support it. Can we get into some of the specifics like the inception of critical social justice? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, you know, to briefly explain what this is all born out of Marx's idea of conflict theory. Yeah, conflict theory is the idea that, you know, all the world can be reduced to a struggle over limited resources. And there are the haves and the have-nots, and so on and so forth. But there was an Italian Marxist named Antonio Gramsci. And Gramsci, you know, after the Bolshevik Revolution, you know, everybody's thinking, you know, workers of the world are going to unite. There's going to be this radical Marxist revolution, at least across Europe, but it didn't happen. And Gramsci was an Italian Marxist who, you know, spent a great deal of time in prison under the fascists. And Gramsci came up with this idea. He's basically trying to explain why this Marxist revolution didn't take hold. And he comes up with the idea of cultural hegemony. And ultimately what Gramsci is saying is that people are not overthrowing this oppressive capitalism because these capitalists have taught them what to think. They've given them these ideas that sort of keep them in place. Now, later on, these ideas are advanced by the Frankfurt School. World War II comes, the Frankfurt School comes to the United States, and we have what many have referred to as cultural Marxism. And so under them, it's called critical theory. And so critical theory, critical race theory, critical pedagogy, when you hear that word critical, it's connecting it to a very specific philosophy that goes all the way back to Marx and Hegel.
And to state the obvious, but not everyone realizes this is the obvious when it comes to a biblical worldview, you're talking about two competing and different worldviews. If you profess to have faith in Christ and look to the Bible, that's a biblical worldview. This type of theory, this type of belief, is just the opposite of what the Bible says.
Yes, it is. And, you know, this goes to another problem. And that is the idea that we think the Bible is only relevant in church.
Yep.
And so we refer to the Bible when we're talking about our faith and salvation and so on and so forth. But when it comes to education, family, sex, sexuality, everything else, we put our Bibles on the shelf and we go and look to these theories of men, and we don't evaluate them from a biblical perspective. And then we imbibe them in spite of the fact that they contradict a biblical perspective.
Vody Bachum is my guest. His new book is Fault Lines: The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe, put out by Salem Books. I think salembooks.com is one of the many resource sites that you can pick up Vody's book. Vody, we need to break, but when I come back, I want to delve a little bit deeper about, well, there's an article. I'll just give you a little tip. Alexandria, Virginia, they are now teaching the coaches about anti-racism. It's everywhere in culture. And I know recently at a sermon that I basically broadcast on the program where you spoke the difference between biblical justice and social justice, I want to lean into this whole idea of anti-racism, and it seems to be everywhere. At least that's my subjective interpretation. Maybe your truth as well. So I'd love to delve down deeper into that with you as we continue. Does that sound fair?
Absolutely.
Pastor Vody Bachum is my guest. Again, the new book, Fault Lines. Pick it up. This is an important book. More of the Frank Sontag Show next.
Do you know the name Ibram X. Kendi? If you know the literature at all on this, then you know the name Ibram X. Kendi. If you don't know his name, you probably know the title of his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. Now, his book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, is being used, in government agencies, in universities, Fortune 500 companies. Probably the two most popular books that people are using for diversity training are Robin DiAngelo's White Fragility and Ibram X. Kendi's How to Be an Anti-Racist. Okay? And if you don't know his name and you don't know his book, you certainly know his ideas because they are everywhere. In fact, they're beyond everywhere. They're everywhere. Okay? There are Christian organizations and Christian ministries now who are using Ibram X. Kendi's book, How to Be an Anti-Racist. It is pure critical race theory. It is critical theory, critical race theory, intersectionality on steroids. It is antithetical to biblical thinking, biblical theology, biblical ideology, and it is being used in churches all over this country and ministries all over this country in diversity training.
Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. That's the voice of Pastor Vody Bachum. He's author of the new book, Fault Lines: The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. By the way, it's a Salem book. It's out now. And for more information, you can go to Vody's site, VodyBachum.org. Bachum is B-A-U-C-H-A-M, VodyBachum.org. We'll make sure and post that on our website for the radio station. So, Vody, I want to follow up on anti-racism. There's even a story out of Alexandria, Virginia, where some group called the Positive Coaching Alliance, they're going to teach the coaches of this local Little League all about anti-racism. Can you address that term?
Yeah, anti-racism is another one of those terms that sounds good to people initially, right? Like social justice. And nobody wants to be a racist, so of course we need to be anti-racist. But being an anti-racist is not the same as not being racist. Being an anti-racist is rooted in the critical theory idea of oppressor-oppressed paradigm. It's rooted in the idea that if there are disparate outcomes, those disparate outcomes exist because of and prove racism, right? Regardless of whatever other evidence there is, if there are disparate outcomes, it is de facto racism. And so anti-racism is about undoing those outcomes. It's about working to transform society, to transform the culture, so that there are no disparate outcomes. And you have to constantly do the work of anti-racism. In fact, Kendi proposed an anti-racist amendment to the U.S. Constitution, law behind this, with the idea that there would be an entire, you know, department of anti-racism that would look at every law and every potential law to determine whether or not there could possibly be disparate outcomes because of that law. So, again, anti-racism, is when we as Christians talk about racism and we talk about not being racist, we're talking about partiality. We're talking about, you know, favoring one group of people above another group of people or disparaging one group of people compared to another group of people based on whatever their characteristics are. And that sin lies in the heart, that sin of partiality. Anti-racism has nothing to do with the heart, and it has everything to do with politics and political outcomes, and it's a completely different animal.
Fody, I want to ask a question that may sound somewhat ludicrous on the surface, but I don't want it to be self-serving at all. I just want to speak to the importance of the message that you're trying to convey to not only culture, but to the church. And the question is this. When you speak about anti-racism and those that are pushing this, almost as if it's a new religion, are you being silenced at all? What kind of pushback are you getting? Because, again, it seems like it's everywhere. We're hearing this more and more.
Yeah. And I just had a piece in the New York Post on Sunday talking about this very issue. And some people have taken, you know, taken issue with the fact that I've talked about silencing black voices, because they're saying, well, you wrote a book and you wrote an op-ed, so obviously you're not being silenced. That's not the point that I'm making. The point that I'm making is this ideology silences people in a different way. So when I speak about this, it's not that people say, be quiet, you're not allowed to publish books, you're not allowed to be heard, although there is some of that. But what they say is, you're not really black. And so the idea of anti-racism, the idea of critical race theory is that we need to elevate the voices of the oppressed, because in elevating the voices of the oppressed, we find truth through their narratives, right? But the voices of the oppressed are black people who've been oppressed by America and white supremacy, so on and so forth. But any black person who does not toe that line is immediately castigated as, you know, Uncle Tom, sellout, you know, or as one L.A., former L.A. Police officer put it in talking about the issue in Kentucky, right, when the black, you know, attorney general of Kentucky didn't say what she thought he should say. This woman said that he's skinfolk but not kinfolk, right? In other words, he's not really black. And that's what I mean when I talk about silencing. This idea that, you know, you put forth this assertion that any disparate outcome, you know, any disparity at all is, you know, prima facie evidence of racism and discrimination. America's whole history is racism and discrimination. Black people know this because black people have experienced it. And if you listen to their narratives, right, they'll help you know it, even if you don't know it right now. And any black person who's not telling you that is not really black, or they're just trying to curry favor with white people. And that's just another way of silencing certain voices.
Dr. Fody Baucham is my guest. His new book is Fault Lines. Would there be any merit in spending a moment on the attempt at rewriting history? We hear about the 1619 Project. I don't even know if we want to get into the new administration. I'm not political, and over the last year, year and a half, I've talked a lot of, as Christians, we need to be politically literate. I know people that say they're Christians, they voted for this new administration, which is anti-biblical in and of itself. What about the rewriting of history? You talk about slavery, and I just want to kind of give you the microphone, because this is, I'll follow up with the question. Go ahead.
Yeah, one of the biggest things, and everybody's heard about the 1619 Project. And a lot of people don't understand a couple of things about that. Number one, it's not just revisionist history, but it is debunked history. You know, historians of every stripe have talked about the horrible, you know, history in the 1619 Project. The 1619 Project is just wrong. It's wrong on history. Now, it won a Pulitzer Prize, even though it's completely wrong in history. But then another thing people don't understand about the 1619 Project is it's rooted in this premise of CRT. Premise number one of CRT is racism is normal, right? That America is racist at its core from its inception. And, it, you know, it's their doctrine of original sin. So the 1619 Project tries to put the founding of America in 1619, not in 1776, because if we're founded in 1776 or 1787, right, when you know, we ratify the Constitution, then we're based on documents that are some of the finest documents in history and documents that have made us the freest people on the face of the earth. But if you move the founding back to 1619, then you get away from the problem of our Declaration and of our Constitution and of all the good that those things have done historically, right, for all the faults of America. You know, the freest, wealthiest, healthiest, most prosperous black people on planet Earth are Americans. And so the 1619 Project tries to get around that inconvenient truth by saying that what America really is racism, because we really started in 1619 when the first slaves came here, and that's all we are, and it's all we're ever going to be. So that's the purpose of that particular revision.
Vody Bachum is my guest. Again, the book is Fault Lines. Vody, one more question. We'll break and come back with our last segment. Last segment, I want to talk more about the church. Your subtitle has to do with the church and how we're headed for this earthquake, if you will. But whether we're talking about critical race theory, social justice, this ideology that is, again, seems to be more and more prominent. If we can cut to the core of what this ideology does, does it incite a division, a separation, a hatred, not only among people in our country, but it also seeks to divide the church? I don't know if that's overstating, but I would love to hear your response to that.
Yeah, this ideology is inherently divisive. It divides people into oppressor-oppressed categories. And then what it does through intersectionality is it divides the oppressed into subcategories with overlapping, you know, intersections of oppression. And then what it does is it sort of ranks people, you know, by those intersections of oppression. And so the individual is completely lost, and all you are is your sort of list of categories, your list of oppressed categories, if you will. And it's ironic because in the name of overcoming racism, in the name of overcoming this ideology that, you know, categorizes people and reduces them to the color of their skin or whatever else, we've accepted an ideology that does precisely that.
Vody Bachum is my guest. We're going to continue with our final segment. Fault Lines is his new book. You can find out all the information at VodyBachum.org. And Dr. Vody Bachum is my guest for the rest of this hour. More of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. My guest is Dr. Vody Bachum. His new book is entitled Fault Lines. We've got about 10 minutes left in the broadcast. This is a very important book. It's put out by Salem Books. You can visit VodyBachum.org for more information. Vody, I just want to share something with you, a concern I have about the church. Now, I sat and watched your 53-minute, it's on YouTube now, your sermon on biblical justice versus social justice. Not only did I watch the entire sermon, I sat literally for 4 hours and edited 9 audio clips, of which I played 2 weeks ago on the program for almost 30 minutes, trying to educate the audience about the situation, the realities, and what is to come. Now, I really believe I was led by the Holy Spirit on this one. I have a concern, but I just felt led. Here's the question. The state of the church right now, are we in trouble as it applies to our understanding of such things? But at the core of what may be the real issue is our lack of a biblical literacy and understanding of what God's word says.
Yeah, this is definitely the case. And I mean, this is something that I and many have been talking about for a while. There's been a movement away from theology, a movement away from sound doctrine, a movement toward emotionalism. You know, it's been going on for a while. And what we're seeing now is kind of the fruit of that, as people don't understand what the Bible teaches, don't understand, you know, what they need to be wary of, don't understand what they need to be on guard against. You couple this with the fact that, you know, now there's a new 11th commandment, which is thou shalt be nice, right? And anyone who stands up and speaks against these things is immediately castigated, because the only person that it's okay not to be nice to is someone that you find guilty of not being nice, right? It's crazy, but it's this vicious cycle that has created a perfect storm and put us in this position where I do believe there's a coming catastrophe. But let me quickly say that the church will prevail. We always have and we always will. This is not the first time that something like this has happened. This is not the first time that, you know, a division has come within the body over, you know, doctrinal issues or even cultural issues. You remember that, you know, the modernity debate and, you know, the social gospel, you know, debate and Rauschenbusch and the likes and so on and so forth. These sort of things have come before. And what usually happens is there's a group that goes with the culture and eventually completely disappears. And what remains is strengthened.
Now, you share that historically accurate truth. I read a Bible study to D.C. every Thursday night, and that was one of the Bible studies about the history of the church. So that being said, the truth of the matter is this is a warning to those listening right now that profess faith in Christ. And I don't want to end on some platitude of optimism or positivity, but there is a warning here for we as the body of Christ. Is there not? And if there is, what's the warning and where do we go from here?
Yeah, there is a warning. And the warning is the same that we've been, you know, given in Scripture, you know, since the beginning. In the book, in the last couple of chapters, I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and, you know, Paul makes it very clear that there is this war taking place, and we're not at war with people. We're at war with ideas. And so, you know, what do? We destroy these ideas and lofty opinions that are raised against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And, you know, what a lot of people want to do because of that new 11th commandment is they want to get on the second part of that, right? And they want to say, well, let's just love Jesus. Let's just love people. We don't have to do all of the, you know, name calling and all of the, but the first part of that says we destroy these ideas and these lofty opinions raised against the knowledge of God. In Titus, you know, 1:9, what is the elder's responsibility? You know, to hold to the trustworthy word as taught so that he can exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it. We have a responsibility to stand against falsehoods when these falsehoods come against the truth of the gospel. And so we have to do both of these things. And that's my hope with fault lines.
Dr. Voddie Baucham is my guest. Voddie, would it be accurate to respond with what you shared as true followers of Christ, when you talk about the sin of racism, you cannot be healed by another man. We saw last summer churches, scores of people going to other people, and I get it, that may be a good step, but ultimately healing can only come from Christ. And we in the church, we got to get our eyes off each other as the enemy, get our eyes on the real enemy, that would be Satan, and understand that true healing comes from our identity in Christ above all.
Amen. Absolutely. And you know, one of the sinister things about anti-racism is that in taking the focus off the individual and the heart of the individual, and in putting the focus on disparate outcomes in society and economics and so on and so forth, we're actually taking people away from that hope.
Yeah.
Racism is real, but healing for racism is real as well. And as you said so well, that's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's not found in doing political work to try to erase, disparate outcomes. That actually takes us away from the truth that can make us whole.
Voddie Baucham is author of the new book, Fault Lines. Voddie, we have 2 minutes. If I was to just say it's yours, the congregation, the listeners are yours, what do you want to impart to them?
Really, the idea that Christ has reconciled us through the cross. And that's really the message there in Ephesians chapter 2, especially the second half, right? He's broken down the dividing wall. He's come and preached peace to those who are far off and peace to those who are near. And Paul is talking about the divide between Jews and Gentile. It's interesting, but that Jew-Gentile divide is a divide that God himself established. It's real. It's not arbitrary, right? It's not about the amount of melanin in people's skin. But if Christ and his blood can take away a real divide that God established, then how much more can it take away these divides that men have come up with amongst and between ourselves? So we are reconciled in Christ. We need to walk in that reconciliation. The sin of racism is real, but the answer to that sin is repentance. Flee to the cross, be reconciled vertically with God, and be reconciled horizontally with your brothers. And remember that we are one in him.
Dr. Voddie Baucham is author of the new book, Fault Lines, The Social Justice Movement and Evangelicalism's Looming Catastrophe. It's put out by Salem Books. For more information, go to voddiebaucham.org, B-A-U-C-H-A-M, voddiebaucham.org. In the last moment we have, Voddie, I just want to say, I hope and pray that you continue to heal. Many people that listen to this program have been praying for your healing. I know that you've had some health challenges, and I just want to convey my gratefulness for you and for you devoting your life to literally preaching the gospel of Christ. You are a man of God. We love you. Thank you for Fault Lines, and we hope and pray the Lord will bless you and your family in continued healing and stand firm in the gospel at such a time as this.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I so appreciate that, and I appreciate the work that you do and the privilege of being able to come on.
Thank you. Dr. Voddie Baucham has been my guest. Again, the book is Fault Lines. And I want to say this in the few seconds we have left, and maybe on the other side I'll share more. I would just tell you, read this book, pray, and ask God to open your eyes to the truth of the gospel right here, right now. The book again is Fault Lines, Dr. Voddie Baucham. This is the Frank Sontag Show.